Good morning, everyone. I want to talk about numbers this morning. Now, I should admit that I'm an accountant, and I'm fascinated by numbers, and I hope that some fascination will spread to the audience this morning. I've worked with numbers all my life. So what I'd like to do this morning is to think about the wonder of numbers generally as an introduction. And then from that point, I'd like us to think about the consistency of the numbers that we find in Scripture. And we'll look at an academic view of that. And then we'll see there are examples in the Scriptures of mathematics, which might surprise you, but there are examples of addition, subtraction, fractions in the Word of God. I'd also like to think about some of the interesting numbers that keep cropping up time and time again in God's Word. And then I'd like us to look at a most wonderful example of the absolute beauty of the consistency of numbers in the Bible. And then right towards the end, we'll think about some of the alleged inconsistencies that some say. Well, what does the Bible mean by that? That's surely inconsistent. And we'll have a look at one or two of those. Let's just get our minds working about numbers. I just want to sort of demonstrate how wonderful numbers can be. I'd like somebody to give me just any three-digit number, as long as the first and the last digits are not the same. Anything you like.
103.
103, right. So we've got 103. Now I'm going to reverse the order of those numbers. And I'm going to take the lower from the higher number. And then I'm going to reverse them again. And this time I'm going to add them together. 1089. Now the remarkable thing about numbers is that whatever number you were to give me, that was going to be the answer. And you can prove that yourself later. Just pick any three-digit number and follow that principle, and you'll see the answer is always 1089. That's the wonder of numbers. And if we've got time, I'll go through another example right at the end. And again, that just demonstrates the point. If you'd have given me 321, that just illustrates that it comes back to 1089. So again, let's get our minds working a bit more about numbers. We know about catchphrases. Just say what you see.
Forget it.
Thank you.
Six feet underground.
Yep, 6 feet underground. Super, thank you. This is a more tricky one. This is the last one, by the way. Overcome the odds. So again, that's got our minds working about numbers. So what I'd like us to do is just to think about the view of one academic who spent some while looking at the consistency of numbers in the Word of God. And this is the conclusion that he came to. And he actually wrote a book. I've got the book at home. So I know that this is his conclusion. And this is what he said. He said, the Bible displays a remarkable degree of exactness in its employment of numbers. And we would say, not surprisingly, it is the Word of God. But that's the view of an academic who looked at this question and wrote a book about it. So let's think about Bible mathematics. I'm not going to go to all these passages with time, but just to illustrate the point, there are examples in the Word of God about addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, fractions, and even the possibility of an infinity, a multitude that cannot be numbered in the book of Revelation. So let's just have a look at three examples. Turn with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 5, just to illustrate the fact that even in the Word of God we have basic mathematics given to us. And in Genesis chapter 5 we have a list of the genealogy, Adam's family record. And we'll pick it up in verse 3. And it says there, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So there we have an example of addition. 130 plus the 800 gives us the 930 that we have there. We'll look at Leviticus chapter 25 next, just to see an example of multiplication. Leviticus chapter 25, and picking up in verse 8. Again, we don't need to look at the context of what this is about, but just the absolute mathematics that we have in this verse. And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years. And the space of the seven Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Seven sevens of 49. So again, an example of basic multiplication that we have there in Leviticus chapter 25. And perhaps we'll also go back to Genesis 47, just to see the example of fractions. Genesis chapter 47, and picking up in verse 24. Again, we don't need to worry once again about the context. And in verse 24 of Genesis 47, it says, "And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and fourth part shall be your own for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones." So there we have the idea of fractions, the question of the fifth and the fourths. And again, those are not the only examples, they are just snippets, just to illustrate the fact that in our Bibles we have basic mathematics. Now, a bit of audience participation, please. We get a number of numbers in our scriptures which are important. They keep cropping up time and time again. So can you think of any examples of numbers that keep recurring in God's word and why they are important?
14.
Yes, absolutely. And why? There are examples.
Time of Israel in the wilderness.
Absolutely. 40, that's a good one. That's a great start.
Seven,
yes. And why seven?
Well, 7 days in the week.
Yeah.
So a completion of God's work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Three,
yes. Yeah. Yeah, three keeps cropping up. 3 days and three nights, time and time again, isn't it? Any others?
Five.
Five? Why
five? Well, you go to Genesis 15, it seems to be a repeating of the number five, suggests it's associated with grace.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I haven't got that on my list, but I take the point, absolutely.
12.
12, yeah. 12 keeps cropping up lots of times, doesn't it? Again, those are the ones that naturally occur to me. And again, most of those have already had. I didn't have number 5 on there. But again, isn't it true that we see these numbers keep cropping up time and time again? And we find that numbers have a significance and a meaning, like we just talked about the idea of 5 being a number of grace. So let's have a look at a most beautiful example of the consistency of numbers in the Bible. Now, there's a bit of maths in this, so I'm not going to go through it in any detail. If anybody wants to come and have a look at the slide later or copy the slide, you're more than welcome to have one. But what I'd like to do is just to show how consistent the Bible is. And will you come with me to the book of Numbers in chapter 1? Numbers in chapter 1. And what we find here is a numbering of the people, all those over 20 who could go to war. And the number is very specific here in the book of Numbers and at chapter 1. And at verse 45. It says there, "So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel, by the house of their fathers, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel. Even all they that were numbered were 600,000 and 3,550. So remember that number, 600 and 3,550. That was the numbering of all those over 20 who could go to war. So that's what we find in the book of Numbers. Now what I'd like us to do is to go back to the book of Exodus next. Because this census also appears in the book of Exodus. And what it tells us in the book of Exodus is that there was a tax on all these men over 20 who could go to war. And that tax was used for the silver to make the bases in the tabernacle. So let's see if we can see how this works and that it naturally fits together. So let's look at Exodus chapter 38. So we'll read the verses first of all, and then you'll see there's a summary of them on the screen. Exodus 38, starting at verse 25. And it says there, "And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, and 1,750 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, a beaker for every man, that is half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone that went to be numbered from 20 years old and upward, for 600,000 and 3,550 men. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil, 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. And of the 1,775 shekels he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid their chapiters and filleted them." So we can see there that there was a tax to provide for the silver, for the bases that went to make the tabernacle. So what does it say in those few verses? It says the silver that was used was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels. In verse 26 it tells us that the tax was a beaker, and that was half a shekel. So one beaker equals half a shekel. And we find, not surprisingly, that the number is exactly the same as we read in the book of Numbers, 603,550. And that the silver, these 100 talents, were used for the 100 sockets, or the bases, that went to form this tabernacle. And then 1,775 shekels were used for the hooks. Now, one talent equals 3,000 shekels. I'm not going to go through the maths because I don't want to send you all to sleep. The maths are there if you wanted to have a look at it. But one talent equals 3,000 shekels. So let's just work that out then. So to convert talents to bases, 100 talents for 100 bases times 3,000 for each talent gives us 300,000 shekels. And then for the hooks, 1,775 shekels. And then the tax was half a shekel. It was a beaker for each person. So we multiply the sum of those two numbers by two. And what a surprise, it comes back exactly to the number of men who were numbered over 20 who could go to war. That's the beauty, the absolute wonder of the consistency of numbers in the Word of God. And that is an illustration to emphasize the fact that the Bible is absolutely consistent in its use of numbers. Now, when we think about numbers, we have to very openly say that there are a very small number of translation issues when it comes to numbers in the Bible. I only know of less than a handful. But again, we need to be aware that there are. And again, that's because human beings translated the text from the original to the English that we have. Come with me to the first book of Samuel and chapter 13. Where we come across an issue like this, it tends to be a matter of common sense. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 13, it quotes a number of chariots. 1 Samuel chapter 13, and reading at verse 5. And again, if you come across something that gives you a feeling of uncertainty, not sure, have a look at different versions. The fact is that this talks about an area called Michmash. Now, Michmash is in central Palestine, and it's a hilly area. And it says there, it says in the authorised version, if you've got a modern translation, you'll see that it's translated differently. But in the authorised version it says, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Beth Aven. Now the question is, 30,000 chariots in a hilly area around Michmash. Does it make a lot of sense? Pharaoh only had 900 chariots back in the days of the Exodus. So, what you'll find is, if you look at a modern translation, it doesn't actually say 30,000. In most of the modern translation, it says 3,000. So if you do come across some verse that gives you a challenge, have a look at what it says in a different version. As I said, there's only a very small number. It's because the fact that human beings translated the original. So, the last section that we said that we would look at is some alleged inconsistencies in what we have in the text of our Bibles. And I emphasise the question of alleged, because clearly this is the Word of God. There cannot be any inconsistencies. So if there are some people that allege there are, we need to have a think about those. The first one I'd like us to think about is this one. How many sons did Jesse have? We're in Samuel, so just move on to chapter 17 and at verse 12. And it tells us that it's talking about David, and it says, now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. So, that cannot be much clearer, can it? 8 sons. Now, have a look what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 2. Because there are some that say, well, hang on a minute, that's not what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, starting at verse 13. Here we're reading about the family record, and in verse 13 it talks about Jesse, and it says, and Jesse begat his firstborn Eliab, and Abinadab the second, and Shimmah the third, Nethaneel the fourth, Raddai the fifth, Ozan the sixth, David the seventh. So some say, well, in Samuel it tells us that there were 8 sons that Jesse had. In Chronicles it lists 7. So how can there be that difference? So what do you think? Why could there be that difference? There's a very obvious explanation for that difference.
Well,
yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's by far that's the most likely explanation, that one of those sons died, because the records were at 2 different times. There's some suggestion that possibly there was a different mother involved, but I think that's more unlikely. I think that the most likely explanation is that one of the sons died. So let's now think about the size of David's army. Will you come to 2 Samuel chapter 24? 2 Samuel chapter 24. And we want to read verses 8 and 9. Now, this is a record of when David took a census. We'll see when we get to the Chronicles record that this was something that he should not have done. This was something that even Joab, the captain of his army, knew should not have happened. And that's very important. But let's just get the sense of what the size of the army was in 2 Samuel 24. And in verse 8 it says, "So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king. And there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men." So remember those two numbers. Very clear. And let's look and see what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And as we go into Chronicles, we'll read the background to why this census was taken. And again, to illustrate very clearly the point that it should not have happened. And in 1 Chronicles 21, starting at verse 1, it says this. It says, "And Satan, the adversary, stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, 'Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it.'" And notice what Joab said. Joab answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" So not only should he have not done it, he was going to cause a trespass to Israel. And Joab knew that. "Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword, and Judah was 430,000 that drew the sword." So those are the numbers that we have from 2 Samuel of 1 Chronicles. Now, you could argue that that's a rounding difference. Judah, 500,000 to 470. Now, that's rounded up. You could argue that. But there's no way that you could argue that the difference with regard to Israel is a rounding difference. And so why? Why are those two numbers different? Well, the first thing is the census should not have taken place. It should not have taken place. Read them with me to chapter 27 of 1 Chronicles, because we get a little bit more information that's given to us there. First Chronicles 27 and verse 24. It says, "Joab the son of Zeruiah began to number, but he finished not, because there fell wrath for it against Israel. Neither was the number put in the account of the chronicles of King David." So, there we have a number of things. The census should never have been done in the first place. It was going to be a trespass to Israel. They didn't actually finish the census. And it was so unimportant that the number was not put into the account of the Chronicles of King David. And the most likely explanation as to why those numbers are different is that the census was incomplete. Most likely those numbers were taken at different points in time and written down. That's the most likely explanation. But the fact is, it's so unimportant, it didn't even appear in the Chronicles of King David. It shouldn't have happened, and the census was incomplete. The last example I'd like us to think about is the number of years from leaving Egypt to the building of the temple. And the building of the temple began in the seventh year of Solomon's reign. So what I'd like us to do is to go first of all to the first book of Kings, chapter 6. Because this tells us the number of years. And this chapter is all about the building of the temple. And it says that it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. So that's very clear, isn't it? 480 years. You may have wondered why we read Acts chapter 13. And now we come to the reason why we read Acts chapter 13. Because in Acts chapter 13, it gives us a number of timescales at this same time in history. And this is the number that we can glean from our reading from Acts chapter 13. The people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. There was a period of the judges, 450 years. There was a reign of Saul, 40 years. Then there was the reign of David. That wasn't given in our reading from Acts chapter 13. But we can get that number from 2 Samuel chapter 5, and it was 40 years. And then the complete years of Solomon's reign before the fourth year when they started to build was 3. So in Acts, people say, well, hang on a minute, that's 573 years. Why is that different to 480 that we have so clearly given in the first book of Kings? I think this actually, in the answer, gives us another example of the wonder and beauty of numbers in God's word. Why a difference of 93 years? This is what I suggest is the answer. Because these are the years when Israel went into captivity and fell outside the control of the living God. And you can see there Israel in captivity. And you can see the various references. And amazingly, it comes back to exactly 93 years, which is the difference between the 480 and the 573. So I think that is another wonderful example of the beauty of numbers in Scripture. Because Israel then were not under the control of the living God. They were in captivity for those 93 years. I think I've just got time to give you one more example of the beauty of numbers. I won't ask for the number, but this is my telephone number at home. Again, you can work at any number you like. What you need to do is just re-jumble the numbers. Keep the same numbers in a different order. So I'm just going to jumble them up. Right, and then I'm going to take the lower from the higher again. And then I'm going to add these numbers together. 2, 4, 12, 21, 24, 27. And add those together to get 9. And again, that's the record on the screen of how it works. And whatever number you choose, it always comes back to a number 9. The wonder of numbers. And the wonder of numbers in Scripture. So why? Why are we thinking about the wonder of numbers finally? Because the fact is that if we can rely upon the Bible and the numbers it contains, it gives us that confidence and that comfort that all the things that it talks about, we can rely on too in faith. And in our introductory reading, it went on to talk about the fact that God has a plan and a purpose with this earth to set up a kingdom, and the Lord Jesus Christ will be here back on this earth. And so that gives us confidence and certainty that what God reveals in this book we can wholly rely upon. Thank you.